Well, here we are exactly 2 days. I'm sorry, 2 years to the date.
Almost.
That first thing started. And it's the last first thing, the final first. We're not doing the show anymore after today is what I'm trying to say.
I couldn't wait to do that.
Well, and here's the thing. We're having some fun with it because, you know, it's bittersweet, but it's a good thing. Renee and I are not going anywhere other than this time slot. You're still going to hear Renee doing traffic and weather every day. You're still going to hear me with Paul. But essentially what's happening is there's a bunch of things in the pipeline, and Renee and I are going to be doing a lot of cool stuff around the station. And we're kind of looking at it and we're thinking, OK, well, we can keep doing first thing and try to fit all this other stuff that we're going to be doing over the next couple of months in. But then what would happen is we would be off for a week and then on for a week. And we just decided with management, let's step aside. Let's maintain some consistency in this time slot. So
yeah, because you've heard in the past, mostly you, Mike, where you're off. Mike's off handling a special assignment. That's what we would say when you were off, Mike.
Right.
So you know, this just allows.
And then
us,
I go down the hall, and Mike's cleaning the bathroom.
Right,
I'm like, what's going on here? Come on.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's actually the other things I'm going to be doing around the station. I'm going to be washing management's car. I'm going to be picking up
fueling
the host. Yeah, dry cleaning.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a major boost for me.
Yeah. So it just allows us to take this energy and put it elsewhere into different projects on the station. And, you know, I have to tell you guys, I didn't know either one of you very well. I've been with this company throughout the years, mainly on our FM side. A lot of times when you work in radio, you aren't given the opportunity to be paired up with who you want to work with. Not that most jobs are able to be paired up with who you want to work with, but especially where they say you and you are going to do a show together. You hope that you're going to like each other. You hope that you're going to gel and get along.
Right.
And all I knew of Mike was he was the guy at one of our company functions that threw it down singing karaoke. That's exactly how I explained you to my husband when I said, yeah, so I'm going to be doing this show at 5 a.m. Remember that guy when we went to the company karaoke night and he got up on the table and was singing Fallout Boy? Oh, yeah, I remember him. Yeah, I'm going to be working with him. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Jason, I knew from working, you know, at Specs Howard. He was a student there, and I saw him in the halls. So I'm so lucky to be able to gel with both of you.
I would, before I started this shift full time, I would fill in here and there, and I would walk down the hall and see you and Goose next door, and I'd wave, and I'd be like, I don't even know them. I've never even said hi to them.
Right.
Because a lot of the times you're like, well, I really got to say hi to them. But by the time you're done with your work, they're, you know, the person's gone or something.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But. So that night I was smashed, and that's another thing I'm going to be focusing on is my drinking
getting
and karaoke.
Smashed?
Yeah. My drinking karaoke. But it's funny you bring that up, Renee, because you and I, we were like ships passing in the night before this. And Jason and I worked together for a while. We always got along, but, you know, God, Jason, we probably worked together 5-7 years and we got along, but we really got to know each other doing this.
Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, we're taking over for somebody on the weekend or something. So you kind of talk before the other person leaves.
Right.
And so we never really got a chance. I mean, we talked, but, you know, never got a chance to work together every day. So.
And, you know, I maybe met Renee 5 times before doing this. And like, I remember the first day I kind of officially met Renee. I was doing first thing solo, and she comes into the station because you were trying out for traffic or something. They were putting you in a bunch of places to see where you would work out. And you just come in and you start asking me a whole bunch of questions. You start talking about how, oh, my God, I hope I get this job. You know, I got a wedding coming. And like we were just we were just like dishing like girlfriends from like the beginning.
Instant connection. And I'm so lucky to have you, Mike, as part of this journey, because I'll be honest, this is the first time I've done news radio. And you really have been like a great friend and mentor through that. So thank you.
Well, it's funny because we were both veterans, but we both felt very new, right? Like you have been on air. You've done morning shows for probably about as long as I've been working in news, but you were new to news and I was new to doing a show every day. And so I feel like we kind of situation, you either implode or you kind of lean on each other for strengths, and then, you know, you help each other with your weaknesses. And I feel like we've done that. And I know that you've never been super comfortable with news. But I will say that, I mean, I could always count on you to know what's going on. I can always count on you if I threw to you that you would do a good job. And I think that's just a testament to your skill as a broadcaster.
You really can
do anything. And I hope you give yourself the credit you deserve. I know you're not going to, but I hope you do.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. And you, your way of delivering news, the way you deliver it, it's compelling. It's like I said yesterday when we were talking about Juneteenth, the way you delivered it and explained it, if you would have been my history teacher, I probably would have paid attention more. So,
Mr. Parsons,
yes.
I have to use the bathroom.
Yeah. So, proud to work with both of you.
Yeah, and let me say this about Jason too.
Uh-oh.
I mean, make sure you
read what I sent you.
Never mind. Screw you too, Jason. No, here's the thing. Jason was probably the first human being that I spoke to every morning for, you know, however, like a year and a half you've been doing this.
Yeah, I jumped on November of 23.
So. Wow.
And really, Renee, Jason was kind of like that missing piece. We didn't know we were missing.
Yeah.
You know, with your drops. And Jason, you are, you
the
know,
laugh.
You. Yeah. Oh, my God. The off mic laugh. It's probably my favorite thing about the show. And, you know, Jason, you are a really good personality in your own right. I know that, you know, you kind of always said you don't really want to lead your own show, but you like being on air. And like, you are just like, you're like the perfect third to what Renee and I do. You know, some days you're really involved in the conversation. Other days you're, you know, like what you did at the beginning of this segment with that he gone drop. Hilarious. And I mean, Renee, I'm not sure if you feel this way. It was just so comforting to know that you're going into Jason, who's this calm, dependable presence.
Oh, yeah.
Every morning.
Not that our other people don't do a good job when Jason's not here, but yeah, it's our Jason. You can't take time off, Jason.
And I want to thank both of you for allowing me to be creative and play drops, because I've loved radio my whole life. And growing up, I would listen to sports radio and certain shows would play drops. And I'm like, oh, I love that. It's so funny. I want to do that one day. And
and that's not easy, Jason, because, you know, I was a board op for a long time, and I think you either have that timing or you don't.
Right.
Because I used to love that too, and I would try that on the show, and it would just be awkward.
And
you know?
He does it all while he's, you know, truth be told, preparing for JR morning. They're sending him stuff, you know, as early as in the middle of the night, sometimes the night before. So he's doing all of that, maintaining our show, having his fun laugh in the background.
What would you say?
Yeah.
You do here.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. And real quick, I would be remiss if I didn't thank the listeners who were with us this early every morning. I especially want to thank...
And our people that listen to our podcasts.
Yes. I especially personally want to thank my mom and my father-in-law. Because I knew that if no one else was listening, my mom and my father-in-law, they listened every day. So
I can tell you my mother's not.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I was talking to management and I said, hey, is it okay if on Friday we say it's our last show? That way I don't have to make a separate phone call to my mom and father-in-law. I can just let them both know on the show. So
save your minutes.
Yeah. right. I'm still using one of the Nextel. Where you at? So, you know. The moment will have passed once I've got free nights and weekends at 7 p.m. All right, enough of this. Maybe we'll do some news later on for old time's sake. I don't know. It's our last show. We've got senioritis. It's first thing. Mike Parsons, Renee Vitale, WJR.
So what do you guys want to talk about?
We are heading into JR Morning with Guy, Lloyd, and Jamie. And, you know, I want to talk about the Gordie Howe Bridge. It's officially up on Google Maps. There's an exit sign on the freeway, which means soon enough, we will have double the chance of getting off on the wrong exit and accidentally going to Canada.
I never thought of it that way, but I don't think you're wrong.
If you're going to put it like that,
Has that ever happened to anyone in this room? It happened to me one time.
Yes.
No.
No, no.
I've never accidentally gone to Canada.
Thank God.
I've always gone on purpose.
It happened to me 3 years ago, and let's just say those 2 hours I will never get back.
I just make an event of it. Go to Canada for a little while, get some ketchup chips, come back and go to Soshimoko's.
You got to go do something Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually am from Canada. I actually ended up in the United States, and I just started a new life here. I didn't feel like going back.
You better be careful how loud you say that.
Okay.
Yeah,
people
no
are
kidding.
Listening.
Facts.
It's true.
People are listening.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's worse places you could be deported to than back to Canada.
Somebody's knocking at your door, Michael.
Yeah. Gotta go. But, I mean, I hear that there's also going to be, like, a bike trail on the Gordie Howe Bridge, which sounds absolutely terrifying.
Pedestrian lane.
Bike trails are taking over the world.
I know. I don't know. I don't know how I would do riding a bike.
Good.
Across.
Get them off the road.
Yeah.
Put them on a trail. Get them off the road.
That's right. And stay on the bike lane. Don't be one of those people who are driving, who you know, think that they should be in the road on an international crossing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, before we're out of here, I just want to take a second, obviously, today is the final episode of First Thing, and Chris, Lloyd, and Jamie, I want to just thank you guys for, these crosstalk segments. They've always been a lot of fun, and you have treated Renee and I like professionals when a lot of times we felt like amateurs, and that was very validating.
God, you guys are
great.
Oh my gosh, this is so dramatic. You guys were fun and fun to talk to.
Yes, you guys were great. You guys did a great job. Really did.
Well, and I got to give you guys credit because a lot of times coming into the segment, not only did you guys not know what we were going to talk about, a lot of times I wouldn't know what we would talk about before cracking the mic.
It's a surprise for all of us.
Uh-huh. Surprise, surprise,
surprise,
surprise. Yes.
So, thank you.
You guys,
guys
are going to have to allow me to play a few more drops to, you know, make up for this.
Oh, yeah.
Let him scratch his itch.
Yeah, sorry. We're unleashing Jason on you.
Uh-oh.
He used to get it out of his system during this show. And I feel like I'm in the hospital bed. Lloyd, just promise me you'll be singing the fight song.
I thought of that.
Forward down the field. I promise.
Good. And we're not going anywhere. We should stress that, Mike. It sounds like we're gone, leaving the station. We're not.
Yeah, right. This isn't goodbye. It's see you at the next all staff meeting.
Okay, gotcha.
So see you Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
Right. Much.
The all staff meeting will be regarding this final episode. So thanks again to not only the three of you, but the other three people who were listening to us. And,
you know what?
Renee, partner, I guess this is it, huh? Any final words before we sign off for the final time?
You know, honestly, again, I'm just so thankful that you guys embraced Mike and I to do this show and you know, allow us two people who are not journalists to have a little fun to wake you up in the morning. It's been a real treat.
Well, it's been great to have you guys.
Take a bow.
JR Morning coming up. You know, Renee, on this final episode of First Thing, I shouted out a bunch of people at the end of last segment. Is there anyone you would like to shout out?
Yeah, you know what? I have to give a shout out to the hubby because that guy gets up every morning to listen to you and I and Jason, even though
Dave.
Yeah, even though he can probably sleep another hour and a half or two. So I appreciate that. And also my best friend's Aunt Patty. She's a huge fan. Every time I get together with my best friend's family, she's there. I just love you guys. So good morning, Aunt Patty, and thank you.
And goodbye.
And goodbye.
Enough of.
wait, real quick. What are you guys going to be doing this summer, Renee, you and the husband? What do you guys like to do?
Boat.
Quit playing with your dinghy.
One more time.
Jason's just setting traps for us so he can get his drops in one more time. Enough about us. Let's do some news for old time's sake. It was a crazy night in the neighborhood downriver yesterday. Man has been arrested after two Southgate officers were shot and taken to a hospital on Thursday morning. This from Fox 2. I'm just going to start off by saying both officers have been released from the hospital. They're expected to be okay.
Okay.
Police say that the shooting happened on Northline Road at Village Park Drive at about 4:10 at the Reserve Apartments. Officers were responding to a call of a man waving a weapon around. When they arrived, police say the suspect took out a gun and shot two officers in the leg. The man then jumped from the second story window and fled the scene. One other person, the suspect's friend, was taken into custody. Officials then searched for the suspect, who was wearing a tether, but he cut it.
Oh, my gosh.
This story gets crazier and crazier. According to authorities, the alleged shooter was identified as 20-year-old Jeremiah Kemp. There was a shelter-in-place order for hours and hours in the area of Northline and the I-75 overpass. They found him around 9 p.m. After a grid search involved upwards of 75 officers from local to federal agencies, along with canines, air support. There was a chopper up in the air. Mm. Police say that during the search, they had an apartment of interest to search for. And when they did, they found and arrested the suspected shooter. It's unclear if he was with people he knew or just people harboring him. He was taken into custody without anyone else getting hurt. They have not found the weapon yet. But again, I want to reiterate, good news. Both officers were taken to a hospital with they were shot in the lower leg, and they have been since released. So that's some good news there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, another neighborhood where things are getting crazy, the Middle East between Israel and Iran.
Yeah, and President Trump said he will allow 2 weeks for diplomacy before deciding whether to launch a strike in Iran. A powerful Iran-backed militia in Iraq has vowed to attack U.S. military bases in the region if Trump decides to enter the conflict. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has not ruled out targeting Iran's supreme leader, saying no one in Iran should have immunity after Israel's defense minister said that the supreme leader cannot be allowed to continue to exist. Iran and Israel traded strikes overnight with no signs of de-escalation in this week-long conflict. Netanyahu said his military's objective was to strike all of Iran's nuclear facilities. Iran, meanwhile, plans to attack the offices of Channel 14 News. It's a station which it accuses of being Netanyahu's propaganda channel.
And real quick, I'm going to go back to you for another story. Donald Trump getting rid of 988 specifically for the LGBTQ community.
Yes, he is. And here's the deal. If you're not familiar with what that is, it's a crisis lifeline specializing in services for LGBTQ plus youth. Anyone who reaches out to the 988 lifeline will receive help, but the Press 3 option, which connected callers to crisis counselors trained to work with LGBTQ plus youth and adults under 25, that'll no longer be available. The specialized service launched in 2022. Nearly 1.3 million callers have reached out for assistance since then.
Seems frivolously cruel.
Yeah, a little bit.
I can't imagine they're saving a whole lot of money shutting that down. I'm sure that will be the argument. But
I just see 1.3 million lives that have been affected by it.
Right. This goes beyond ambivalent and seems targeted, in my opinion.
That's a solid statement. I agree with you.
Especially to do it during Pride Month.
Right. And I wonder if that was by design. I don't know.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if it was. Senator Alyssa Slotkin and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth got into a testy back and forth at a hearing on Capitol Hill earlier this week. Ryan Schmelz from Fox News covers it on Focus with Paul W. Smith.
These troops are given very clear orders.
Then what is the order? Then list it out for us. Be a man. List it out. Have you given the order for to be able to shoot at unarmed protesters in any way? I'm just asking the question. Don't laugh. Like, the whole country. And by the way, my colleagues across the aisle.
What is that based on? What evidence would you have that an order like that has ever been given?
It is based on Donald Trump giving that order to your predecessor, to a Republican Secretary of Defense, who I give a lot of credit to because he didn't accept the order. He had more guts and balls than you because he said, I'm not going to send in the uniformed military to do something that I know in my gut isn't right. He was asked to shoot at their legs. He wrote that in his book. That's not hearsay.
And, of course, Hegseth said, I'd be careful about what books I believe when I read things in books, except the Bible, of course, which then sent Slotkin over the, oh, my God, her reaction was kind of like that. It is the time of confrontations. Yes, we've been talking about the Ted Cruz-Tucker Carlson confrontation, but this one was pretty spectacular also. And Senator Alyssa Slotkin and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth went at it, and she did. She held her own, don't you think? I think she held her own. Let's find out what Ryan Schmelz thinks, Fox News correspondent and WJR contributor. What kind of fallout is there today, if any, Ryan?
You know, I think it's kind of hard to know. You know, it's the news cycle of Washington D.C. right now. You're onto a new story every second because, especially with this conflict where it's back and forth, right? You know, and there's constantly updates happening nonstop out of the White House. So it's kind of hard to know. I think the one thing that's going to remain from that hearing that probably stood out and is probably not getting the most attention because obviously the Iran conflict is front and center. But, you know, the defense budget for the next fiscal year is going to be a major concern amongst defense hawks. You know, Republicans in some cases were not happy with the administration for sending in what they're calling a skinny budget and not having a detailed budget about where they want the military to be spending its money over the next year. And also factor in the fact that this is below the top line number that certain Republicans were asking for.
You know, when Slotkin speaks, and she has shown early on to not have any hesitation about speaking about certain things that she feels she knows a lot about. And yeah, we have to pay attention that she does have experience. She served as a Central Intelligence Agency and Department of Defense official. She has been behind the scenes. She has been in some of those meetings and such. And so she was really trying to find out from Hegseth just what he said to these troops going into this action and facing fellow Americans. And the question, did you tell them to shoot at the legs? This comes from the book that we responded to, referred to a little bit ago, and was in Mark, was it in Mark Milley's book? He said that the president at that time, President Trump, said, quote, can't you just shoot them, in the legs or something? And so she was asking if that same statement question came up from the president, and he was not having anything to do with it.
Yeah, no, and I think it was certainly a testy moment. You know, she, I don't know if there were really testy moments, but she had a decent back and forth with him a while back when he was going through his confirmation hearing. She focused some of her questioning, and I think this is probably one of the more newsworthy parts of that was she was asking about what's the future of CQ Brown? Is he going to be on the chopping block potentially for the Department of Defense? And ultimately, he was. He was removed, and they replaced him. So, I don't know if there's any major fallout from this. Obviously, these hearings, they always have testy moments, and there's a lot of to it. And I think with a hearing like the one you saw yesterday, I mean, you know, they go into a classified section of this where they go down to the skiff and they do everything else behind closed doors. And, of course, that's just something we're never going to be able to report on.
And the push now by the Democrats, desperately looking for ways to criticize this president and anything he's doing, they repeatedly questioned Hegseth yesterday about whether the California deployment was just the beginning of wider use of the military at home. They'd like us to believe that the president is getting ready for a police state, basically, and having the military come into our hometown if they need to straighten things out, not leave it to the police. Well, what they've shown is they don't leave it to the police when the police are told by their bosses and by their governors to not do anything when people are breaking the law. And that's a problem, and none of us want to see that. All of us want to see law and order. Well, thinking Americans want to see law and order. So Hegseth, go ahead.
The other thing they're going to have to answer for, I mean, you know, in California's case, we've had a number of journalists get, you know, shot by police with riot bullets. You know, there was a New York Post reporter got one right on the forehead. You know, that wasn't far away from his eyes. That could have been very damaging.
Right.
You had another journalist who was live on air, I believe, from one of an Australian outlet or some foreign press.
Yes.
You know, you've seen the
shot
video,
in the
probably.
Leg. Yeah.
Yes. Literally. And there was a CNN crew, I believe, that was detained also. So, you know, I've kind of posed that question to Leader Jeffries. It says, well, how can you say that you're confident and say that, you know, California leaders have the situation under control when, you know, the police officers who are under their jurisdiction are, doing these things to journalists? And so I think there's a lot of questions about, you know, is California handling this well enough that the Trump administration has no choice but to step in? But of course, you know, there is the question of, you know, is this appropriate for military force to be used here? Is the National Guard appropriate if the California governor is not calling him? I mean, they're all legal questions and certainly questions that'll keep getting asked.
You got 4,000 National Guard troops, 700 active duty Marines to protect Los Angeles, and some of them, the Marines, the federal buildings and such. All of this against California Governor Gavin Newsom's wishes. I guess that was Freudian. But this is also, everything's got to be weighed in the big picture. The big picture is Gavin Newsom wants to run for president, so he has to do as many things that are different from this president as he possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, and look, they got off to what seemed like a pretty solid start. Looked like they got along pretty well when they were dealing with the California wildfires. Certainly, there was a little bit of trash talk here and there, but, you know, when President Trump was there, they had some delightful exchanges. They did not, you know, argue with one another. A lot of President Trump's back and forth were kind of more directed at Karen Bass, the mayor of L.A. But, you know, of course, that relationship has slowly started to fade away, and now they're back to kind of the same trash talk that they and you know, disagreements they were at, you know, prior to that.
WDIV Local 4's Hank Winchester is on leave from the station pending an investigation after the police searched his home last week.
Winchester's attorney Todd Flood joins Kevin Dietz on All Talk to discuss the case.
Let's talk about the situation with WDIV reporter Hank Winchester. According to news reports, his home was searched by law enforcement last week in connection with allegations of unwanted sexual advances. Winchester is a highly respected and decorated journalist with 24 years at the station. He is currently on administrative leave as the investigation unfolds. This part's important. No charges have been filed at this time. Fox 2 News reported that Winchester is studying massage therapy at this time and that electronics were seized from his home during the search. What's actually going on? Let's bring in Hank Winchester's attorney, our friend Todd Flood. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin. I'm great. Thanks.
I appreciate you being here. I've been friends with Hank for 30 years. You've been friends with Hank for 30 years. This doesn't sound right, doesn't really add up. What do we know at this time?
It is such a frivolous investigation, and I will say that, you know, we look for immediacy. If this happened yesterday and the search warrant took place the following day, that might be, you know, something. But this is so stale and old, and I smell, you know, a rat here of a proportion that this should have there should have never ever been a search warrant at Hank's house. I have a big problem with Fox even running this story. This is crazy to me. Your station, 7, CBS, they wouldn't run this story if the person was in charge. And how, you know, the taint of this takes place. I, you know, shame on Fox for doing that, in my opinion. It's just wrong, especially, you know, because there's no charges here. I have a big issue with that. And, you know, like I said in my statement, this case will end where it began, nowhere. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, when you're a public figure, that you can have people throw arrows at you, and it's a different ballgame.
Let's talk about the process. What does it take to get a search warrant? Is this something that needs some sort of probable cause?
Well, probable cause is needed to establish, you know, a search warrant, but oftentimes police officers take it in front of a magistrate that just stamps and, you know, doesn't give great scrutiny. Oakland County, just so you know, now, unlike Kim Worthy's office, unlike Wayne County, unlike many and federal court systems, Oakland County police departments do not have a requirement that a prosecutor, an assistant prosecutor, sign off on the warrant, a search warrant, ahead of time. All most legitimate counties and guaranteed all federal search warrants, a U.S. attorney, an assistant U.S. attorney, has to look at it to see if it establishes probable cause to find the fruits for what you're looking for at that particular location. Oakland County, sadly so, and I know Karen McDonald wants this to happen. She wants to have the check and balance, but police agencies don't do it. They don't have an assistant prosecutor or a lawyer look at a search warrant before it's signed by a magistrate. You would think you take this in front of a magistrate who's not a prosecutor in and of himself. There's a swear to. The cop goes in front of the magistrate, and they sign off on it. It's a rubber stamp. And you can rest assured that this search warrant is going to be – I'll eviscerate this search warrant if there isn't – you know, because we haven't seen an affidavit. If it doesn't have the necessary elements to prove, you know, the probable cause standard.
I would think that law enforcement would be very cautious to make sure that they knew what they were doing before they executed a search warrant, because the likelihood of it going public would be high. And if they're wrong, as you say they are, that this would blow up in their face. But you never really know. And then you see the reporting and it says Beverly Hills did this. The federal, there's no federal agents involved in this. The Beverly Hills police go in. Then they say the sheriff's office assisted, which makes it sound, you know, like it's very, very serious. I don't know that that's true in this case.
It's not. You know, there might be backup or assistance because Beverly Hills doesn't have the IT system put in place at their department for, you know, doing any kind of dumps. So, you know, the sheriff's office does. Perhaps they're brought in solely for that purpose. But at the end of the day, you know, there's nothing here that just something's wrong here. Something's off here. And based on what I've seen preliminary talking to Hank, you know, I unfortunately, he's put in a position where, you know, people can target him. And I believe that's what took place here.
Is it accurate that that Hank studied massage therapy? Is it accurate that electronics were seized?
I can get into the electronics, yes, and therapy, yes, but it's not, you know, it's not something that I'm not going to get into the details or evidence of the case because.
No, I don't want to get that. I don't know. You know, you see the way news is reported today, you don't have any idea if there's an ounce of truth to any of it or a bit of truth.
The fact of the matter is this should have never been a story, and your former station wouldn't have done this as a story until somebody actually was charged. Most stations have that integrity. But now that it's there, you know, it's one of those things where you taint a potential, you know, I have a big problem when you run stories on suspects potentially and you taint and there's no charges, but where do I go to get my name back, right? So anyway,
I tell you,
for another day.
I tell you, Todd, they, you know, they tell you if you see something, say something, or even more so, they'll say if you're worried about your own child, you know, like in a school shooting or some sort of situation, bring it forward so that police can come and investigate. And people are afraid to say something because it does ruin lives. Police may come out, and all of a sudden that information gets leaked to the media, and all of a sudden, and there wasn't anything there, as it turns out, and all. of a sudden the entire life is changed forever. And I think that I think it's surprising to me that that this story was run. There's no charges. It doesn't make sense. I don't think he's a public official to the height of, I used the example earlier, Kwame Kilpatrick, or a mayor of a sitting city, or some elected official or something like that. So I don't know. Did WDIV act appropriately in the administrative leave? Is that just what companies do?
Yeah, that's what happened in that situation. So because Fox came to them ahead of time and said, we're running this story. So they did that.
All right, Todd Flood, difficult day. I appreciate you coming on. And we will report this when it comes to its conclusion. It won't be one of those things where they say, yeah, oh, yeah, and by the way, nothing came of it. So I appreciate you coming on.